Hey friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. So glad again that you are here with me today. I love having you each and every episode. So today I have a friend, a brand new friend I met, named Justin Barclay. He's the guest host on the Glenn Beck Show, and he also wrote a book called The Good News. And so we're going to talk about some of his experiences he's had, and make sure you check it out. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Please like, share, and subscribe far and wide. That really helps me. And join our group on Telegram. We always add more content to Telegram, so join us at the Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on Frank Social at Amber May, True Social at Amber May, and you can also find me at Clout Hub as well. And so join me there. I always add more content. Hey, if you believe in what I'm doing, consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. That's theambermayshow.com. You can donate whatever you feel you could do, or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber there. Well, that is all the announcements I have today. So coming up right now is Justin Barclay. I told you guys, I have Justin Barclay joining us today. I'm excited to have you. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Hey, thank you, Amber. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure and honor to be here. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So you and I have some stuff in common. You say that you were born with a mic in your hand and your career started, or your radio life started in your teenage years. Well, so did mine. So I had the Amber May Show when I was a teenager, and I started on public access TV. And then during that time, you know, I was a high schooler. I needed a job. So I called every TV station because I already knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a broadcaster. And like you, I had a microphone in my hand all the time. I had my little tape recorder that had that attached microphone, and I made radio shows. And so in high school, when I had the opportunity to have my own show on public access, I called every TV station there was, and I said, hey, I need a job. And they're like, well, we only hire ASU students. They had no idea that I was looking for like a paid job, not an intern job. And I didn't know they were looking for interns. So I went to Arizona State, got my degree in broadcasting, and then worked right into radio right after broadcasting. And I got to start in Phoenix, where I thought I was going to have to start in this podunk town, because usually when you're a freshman in broadcasting, yeah, you go to next to nowhere land, right? And God was so good to me. I started right in Phoenix. Wow. And I worked in radio for a while until I had children. And then I stepped away, and then God's like, nope, I want you back. So here I am, and I'm on Frank's Speech and filling in for people and writing on TV. So you and I have a lot in common in that regard.
Funny how that works out. God always has a plan, doesn't he? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about your beginning of your career or your show.
Well, I was actually a kid in high school. They had a little program. You could take like half day to go in and a real radio station. So I started, and one of the guests that came in to speak to share, it was actually an alumni that went through the program. He worked at another radio station in town, and we had got talking, and there was a connection there, and ended up, I got a chance to basically audition for that, and it became a part-time. Now at the time, as part-timer overnight, wasn't talking. You said to push buttons. Like my first day on the job was crazy. My first day ever working for a radio station was Christmas Eve that year. Christmas Eve. And I want to say that must have been 1996.
Wow. So
the first time I filled in for Glenn, this is how God has a sense of humor, right? You see the dots connect when you look back. First time filling in for Glenn was Christmas Eve, 2019. Christmas
Oh my
Eve.
gosh.
What a gift.
How
Yeah,
did that even happen? What was that story? What's the backstory there with Glenn Beck?
I have a really good friend who works with Glenn and worked with him from the beginning, and they just have a great relationship. And he Glenn's a great guy, and loyalty is important, I'm sure, for him. And this friend of mine was a guy who I'd worked with. Yeah, Glenn and I kind of have a similar background that we both did a different type of radio before we did talk radio, and it was the music, top 40, wacky morning zoo. In fact, if you look out there, you probably find some videos of Glenn doing the wacky morning zoo back in the day. And eventually he made the transition into talk radio. And same thing happened to me. I lost my dream job. I was working in Detroit at the time, a morning radio show, winning, having a great time, or so I thought. And then my friend who brought me there, same guy who ended up setting me up with Glenn, the job was killing him. He was flying back and forth across the country, heading up a big radio organization, and he said, I gotta step back. And so he did, and then all of his people got fired. So I was
Ooh.
pissed, but it was literally the best thing that ever could have happened to me, because God just sort of took this thing away from me and said, yeah, you don't need this anymore. And I think I had, I'd always climb, trying to, the next, got to get the next job and climbing the ladder sort of thing. And my whole identity was wrapped up into what I did, instead of my true identity, which is more aligned with my faith, And so I think he'd take that away from me. And I get to the point at that point, I never want to work for anybody ever again. And that was kind of like this whole idea of, because we just got married, my wife and I got married. And they signed my contract about a month later. They re-signed it for what's called an extension, so another year. And then they fired me a couple of months later in March. So how does that make any sense? But it was so great, because it gave me this sort of like landing, gentle landing runway that I could hit. And they had to pay me for a little while, and I think I got a chance to sit back and say, okay, what do I really want to do? I didn't know what it was, but I said, I don't have to do this radio thing anymore. I really don't need it anymore. I guess I was doing it, probably, I don't know, same things that build your gifts can be some things that are, that can be things that maybe hurts or traumas or things like that from the past. But I've been like, I just, I guess it was like a miraculous thing. I was just like, I don't need this anymore. So, but I ended up moving back to where I met my wife and where I am now in West Michigan and Grand Rapids, and started doing talk radio here. I got a really good situation where they allowed me to come back with the company that I worked for before I left. And yeah, I've been here ever since. And I didn't really intend on talking politics or doing any of the stuff that I'm doing today until 2020 happened. And all bets were off. The world kind of started to collapse, and I'm sure you saw it too. But people were looking for the news; they were looking for information, and more than ever, they wanted the truth. And I had seen ever since like 2015, I guess it was, and President Trump came down that golden escalator. I had seen like the news articles, the headlines that come out and say one thing about him, and then I think, well, I mean, I just watched this, and I saw something different. Isn't that something? There's something going on there. Same thing happened in 2020. I'd see the stories. I'm kind of the guy, I'm looking for the good news anyway. So I'm looking, but wait a minute, this is all one-sided. They're not sharing all the details and the truth. So I really started to light up. I don't know really what I'm doing here, but I feel like I'm called to do this right now. And I feel like I'm called to be here. And I did. I just shared the truth, the stories that people wouldn't hear anywhere else. And God had just, that's the sort of divine nature again, that I'm able to do it in sort of a mainstream way on mainstream radio, and for a company that's, don't tell them that I work here, because I don't know what I'm to remember. Figure it out,
That
but
is so cool.
my local folks are
That is
great.
so cool.
We, but did this God sort of made this way, and today, hey, if it all goes away tomorrow, I'm sure he's got something else for me. So that's kind of where I am today, long and short of it. And I'm in the fight because I think people deserve the truth. My idea is that you don't have to call me crazy. Call me, an extremist. A lot of people call me far right. I don't think I'm far right. I think I'm just right so far. But I
Just like
think
your conspiracy probably came true, and so you need a new one.
yeah, that's it. So I just feel like this is where we are today. That giving people the truth is wild, but I think we ought to have the best information that we can get out there. Think we ought to have all the details, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we can make the best decisions for ourselves and for our families. In fact, our country depends on it. This is a country that founders said it was going to be for the people, of the people, and by the people. The first time in history, instead of saying, "Hey, it goes from God to the king to the people," that the power actually went from God to the people to the government. That's how the flow is. Well, in order for that to take place, the people have to be well informed and engaged so that they can continue to be empowered. And we've just sort of given that all away. We've kind of outsourced it all through the years. But I have seen an awakening over the last few years, and I've seen it in myself too. But people are getting engaged. They're in the fight now more than ever, Amber. It's pretty encouraging to see.
I remember watching Glenn Beck, and at the time I was working at the radio station, and it was talk radio. So I started right into talk, and God was preparing me for such a time
Wow.
as this,
Yeah.
because the people, when God told me to pick up my show, I was arguing with him. I said, God, I haven't broadcast in 9 years. No one knows I exist anymore. I have no audience, because I had a really big following when I was obviously on the radio here in Phoenix and around the world, because that's when podcasts started becoming a thing. And so I would upload my radio show straight to podcasting sites, right? And all the whole world knew I existed, according to the analytics. So that happened. So I'm like, God, I don't have an audience. I'm arguing with him, like, who's gonna listen to me? And
Right.
I lost the argument. I did what he asked me to do, and I meet the most incredible people. I wrote a bill for the very first time in my life this session. I became a precinct
Wow.
committeeman.
Yeah.
I have the phone numbers of legislators. I
Yeah.
know generals. I know CEOs. I know doctors and attorneys and like chief of staffs of presidents. I'm like, what just happened to me? I'm
Yeah.
like, this is incredible. And now I know you, and Glenn Beck, and you have a radio show in Michigan, and we could collaborate, you and I, which I think would be so much fun. And I've met podcasters from all over America. And you know why I know all these people? Because I said yes to God when he told me to open my mic again for the same reasons as you. Because I went to journalism school and we talked about freedom of the press and how wonderful our country is because we have freedom of the press. And we talked about these other countries who have government media and they control the narrative. And then, now you and I find out, wow, they've been controlling the narrative for a very long time. We haven't
Oh,
had
yeah.
freedom of the press for a long, long, long time. And praise God for the internet and these platforms and your platform that you get to be on mainstream, which is amazing. That is so cool because you and I now have an opportunity to whoever will find us, hear us, and listen to share the truth because that sets us all free. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, My Pillow 2.0. When I invented My Pillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. My Pillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. My Pillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of My Pillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a My Pillow or not, you need to get the brand new My Pillow 2.0. Call or go to mypillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit mypillow.com.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy
from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
These days, it's hard finding doctors you can trust, but look no further, because now you can go to Dr. Meehan at MeehanMD.com for all your future healthcare needs. And while you're there, you might want to check out his supplements. He has some amazing supplements. For instance, the Optimal Defense, that is perfect for the cold and flu time of year. That helps support your immune system. And if you have like reoccurring issues that come up with your health, that might be a great supplement for you to try. You may also want to check out Immune Plus. It has herbs like echinacea and elderberry. And Immune Plus also contains medicinal mushrooms to help support the body's natural defenses. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, set up a telemed appointment with Dr. Meehan at MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER while you're there. Again, Meehan is spelled MeehanMD.com for all your telemed and supplemental needs. And remember, use promo code AMBER at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, isn't that something? I love it, because that's how God works. And folks are probably thinking a lot of times, and they I don't have a radio show. Well, you don't need a radio show, but anybody can have one nowadays, or a TV show or anything with this phone you got in your pocket. Mm-hmm. I mean, you literally have the technology. Back when I was getting involved, it was actually right before computers had taken over in radio. And if I would have gotten involved a little bit later, I don't know that I would have gotten a job, because they had to have somebody.
Did you do the like the tapes and stuff? Mm-hmm. Like what did they call them? They were cartridges or something like that.
Carts, yeah.
Carts. Yeah. So I got into radio right after that like stopped, and my bosses were telling me about the carts, and I was like, what? Yes. Yeah.
CDs and carts. Is what, and I even had to queue up some records here and there, but nothing. Nothing like it is today. Today, everything runs on computer, and they don't really need the people in the studio anymore, especially overnight. I have to pay anybody to come in and do all that. You see, when I started at Christmas time, it was like, hey, just go in there and press play and keep that Christmas music playing all night long, and then everybody will be fine. But yeah, things have changed, and I think that there's good and bad to that. Technology, it can be very helpful. We just want to make sure that we're using it and it's not using us. That's kind of how I look at it now. But anybody can do it. Plus, you can take shows like this that you love to listen to. You take the Amber May Show and you could share it out with other folks, and that's how you are in the fight. In fact, you've got to know, you got your transmitter, you've got your audience, you've got people who are paying attention to you, whether you decide that you want to talk or do a video or just write something and share it, or just click share on however you're watching this right now. It's very powerful. We, each one of us, has the power to make a difference and an impact like never before for such a time as this, as you just said. I think it's so powerful.
Yeah, we have the greatest awakening going on now. You know, I was on a podcast last night, and they were talking about Donald Trump and the indictment, and could he win because of the election frauds? And up until just a couple days ago, I really didn't think he stood a chance, just because of the election frauds alone. Like, and especially my state and your state. I mean, your state and my state are on the epitome of election fraud, And so that's one of the reasons I want to do my show and get involved in the fight and become a precinct committeeman, because I wanted to take back our election system, because they're destroying the Constitution one right at a time. During COVID, they took our right away for freedom of speech, freedom of gathering, freedom of religion, cancel culture. I got kicked off YouTube on my show. That's not freedom of speech. That's not a free and open press. So thank God for people like Mike Lindell and other people and Rumble, who gave us an opportunity to take back that voice that we were losing in mainstream. And so I think now we are waking up, and now people are really starting to believe, yes, we did have stolen elections. I mean, look at Katie Hobb and Carrie Lake again. And then we look at the Gavin Newsom recall again, that was in our face. Like, now people are starting to see, and now we're starting to get the court of public opinion on our side. It's not just crazy Maricopa people yelling fire when there wasn't a fire. Like, no, They try to gaslight us to believe Donald Trump in 2020 did not win Arizona. For the first time in my life, I never saw Arizona from the bottom of Arizona all the way to the very top with Trump flags everywhere. Everywhere you went in Arizona, there was Trump flags. So how the heck did they want to gaslight us into believing Joe Biden won when everywhere you went across Arizona was the Trump flags? But yeah, that's what they did. They gaslighted us on mainstream. So your show, my show, is so important because we can tell the folks the truth. I'm down here locally in Maricopa County, and what I'm seeing is in every single neighborhood on every single street is Trump flags, and the Trump train that just happened today was 5,000 miles long, and it took 4 million hours for the Trump train to occur. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can tell the truth because mainstream's not. This is a really big platform you and I get, and it's a big honor. I think it's a big honor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And
what I like about your show is you always try to focus on the good. And I think that is so cool because you even wrote a book. Tell us about your book that you wrote.
Good News, Hope, and Encouragement for Trying Times. And part of this was written during 2020. Well, during all the craziness and the chaos, my wife and I thought, this is perfect time for us to have our first child. So either that or everybody, you know, maybe you're just so bored. We had no choice. You know, spending all that time locked indoors. No, you know, it
I
really,
was expecting a baby boom. I was.
Yeah. It really kind of felt like it would be in a lot of ways. Well, I gotta say, it was perfect timing, even though it felt like some of these things were very challenging. Our little girl was born at 27 weeks. So she, in our eyes, was a little early, right? Whoa. But in God's timing, yeah, she was here for whatever reason, perfectly timed. We learned some things later on that made us realize that she was born on time, perfectly. She was perfect. There was nothing wrong with her, but we had to spend, from the day my wife's water broke until the day we brought her home, we had to spend 77 days in the NICU, in the hospital together. So,
did they let you go be with your wife and daughter?
Yeah, I was there. Did? Nobody else was able to visit. But wow. Now, if they didn't let me in, I don't know if we'd be having this conversation right now. I might have to call collect.
Yeah, because I didn't think they were letting fathers even in the hospital. I didn't think they were even letting that in. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they let you in.
Well, there are different policies all over, but certainly there was here. We were able to, but nobody else. She's a twin sister. They're very close. She wasn't allowed to come. So, it was a tough time, a lot of challenges, you know, but I will tell mm-hmm. you that even though I still felt like this peace through the whole thing, it is a peace beyond understanding. Just like the Bible says, this is really how it is. I really can't explain it. And I talk for a living. So that's kind of that's unique. But mm-hmm. I would see during all of this, and of course, everything we faced, and on top of that, the election, which, as you just mentioned, another piece of this, people would ask me this: what do you think is going to happen here? What do you think is going to happen there? What do you think? And there were so many times, you remember back to 2020, it was like, okay, well, this date mm-hmm. happens, and then this thing is supposed to happen. Well, you might need to know something by this date. And it just kind of all sort of trickled out, and people would keep asking me, what do you think about that? Mm-hmm. And I say, I don't know. Well, all I know is that God is still on the throne, and you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And people, I just felt called during this time to write this book for people who, you just like me, you, everyone else, we're watching this, we're engaged in it all, but we're also feeling hopeless and helpless. Some folks just, and I don't want to tell people to stick their head in the sand and just like completely unplug altogether. I think we need to know what's going on. It's very important, but you got to walk that line. And how do you do it? So I do that in the book. I share the story of what happened with our little girl. And she, by the way, she was born at 2 pounds, 6 ounces. And today she's like 26 pounds. She is, she's 2 years old. She's just a beautiful little, perfect little girl. And we've since had another one. 5 months old now. So yeah, I think we've figured this thing out. But we're absolutely blessed. And in the scenario in the book, I tell her story, but I also talk about other stories that are encouraging, uplifting. I also take people behind the scenes and show you how the sausage is made. Being somebody who's worked in the mainstream is sort of seen in my previous years is there is a bit of a process in making the fake news. And I walk through that. How do you spot it? Make sure that you're of course looking for the good and how you find more of it. But this is a time that I think we're all in right now where we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we kind of make sense of it all? Cause there's a lot of days, I don't know about you, but Amber, I pay so much attention to this stuff that I just want to go like live in a cabin in the middle of the woods. There's
days. Darn right. Darn right. Some days it just feels so hopeless. I remember when I first got into doing my show again, and I was going to some of these meetings with people who were in the know in government or people that were just in the know because they knew high ups in the government, and they would hold these meetings. And I remember hearing in some of the meetings, if we don't turn this around in 6 months, our country is going to fall to communism. And I remember how much that sunk my soul to hear that. And I'm so grateful because I see us winning, because that 6 months is now turning into 2 years. Okay. Now, is communism still a big threat? It absolutely is the biggest threat to the United States. They want to take us down any way they can. But what I'm proud of is that 6 months turned into a year, turned into 2 years, turned into 2.5 years. And we are still here. You know why? Because you and I and our movement is growing. More people are getting the veil lifted. We've been in the matrix, so to speak, for many years, the matrix, plugged into the system. And they fed us every line and we just bought it hook, line, and sinker. Most of the time, because most of us middle Americans were so busy trying to put food on the table and take the kids to soccer practice, we didn't have much more to give. But that's where they really got us, because they kept us on that hamster wheel so that they could do whatever they were going to do. And it kept us distracted enough so we wouldn't get involved. But they overplayed their hand when they did the COVID thing to the extent they did, and then they stole an election as big as they did, because they've been stealing elections and they haven't stopped. Look at Carrie Lake and look at Gavin Newsom. They haven't stopped. And then people would argue in Wisconsin about the justice that just got put on the bench, I guess, in Wisconsin or something to that effect. People would still argue, okay, it's still happening, but it was such a big steal, you couldn't deny it, which took the veil off of a lot of people's eyes. But then there were still those that still wanted to believe that the constitutional right was still there, that no, he was elected. But now after the 2 years and us keep beating the same drum and trying to bring out the evidence and bring out the evidence and bring out the evidence and show the people the truth, now we're getting more people on the court of public opinion to finally get them out of the matrix, right? So they could see things for what it really is. And that's the only reason why I think this time Donald Trump could, because if the most popular president, Joe Biden, wins again and beats Donald Trump in the primary, I think it'll, or in the general or whatever, becomes president again, I think it'll be a different outcome this time. I really do.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver. And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to the Amber May Show.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. And I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich and really yummy. I had the chocolate and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout.
So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real, oh, this smells so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're gonna save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So here is soapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
We will. I don't know.
To your point on how we've been overwhelmed through the years, it's hard to process things. I think part of what we're seeing, what we have seen for so long is to make us feel overwhelmed, make us feel hopeless and helpless, that there really isn't, there's nothing you can do. Just sit on the couch, drink your Bud Light with the Dylan's
on the can now.
Oh, some of this stuff is just so wild to watch all this happen, but it's true. Just sit back and
I mean, she's in the bathtub, not even sexy at all. I'm like, what are you thinking putting this woman? Did you see the bathtub one? You know, there was the one with where she had the cans and then her face and all, but then there was a bathtub scene. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? That's not
Nike
even
is- Yes. Nike is supporting, and I don't even, that's probably not the right word, but Nike is supporting and doing an endorsement with Dylan now, where Dylan's running around with a sports bra. Doesn't have the equipment for it, doesn't need it whatsoever, but has a sports bra on. You watch some of the stuff and you think, okay, some of this is just meant to completely pull us off of our focus and off of the fight. And again, we're constantly divided with each other. We're constantly being distracted. This is something that we face. When I wrote that book, I wanted people to know that there's a better way. I wanted people to be able to see more clearly through all of the noise so you could focus on what matters most. And I don't know about you, but like I said, I feel like I'm a lot of times I just want to go live in a cabin in the woods somewhere. We're not called to do that. Like you have done, like I have done. We're called just regular people to be engaged in what it is that we're supposed to do. And I'll give you an example. It's happening here in a place called Ottawa County, which is very near where I'm at here in West Michigan. It started back in the height of the pandemic. The health department county health department told some folks, well, the schools, the kids had that they're going to go back. They had to wear masks. And they actually, this was a county mandate. This is crazy. But they actually went to a Christian, private Christian school, told them they were going to shut them down if they didn't make their kids mask, a private Christian school. So these people that the parents and some of the other folks involved, they decided they were going to stand up and they were going to fight back. Mm-hmm. And they formed a group, an organization called Auto Impact. Eventually they would go on the primary, the mostly Republicans that were on this county board of commissioners, and they threw them all out. They beat them in the primaries. They swept them, and then they went on to the general to win. And now they control the county board of commissioners there. And this is all just regular people, parents and me and you. So it doesn't matter. Maybe you're sharing this program. Maybe you decide to start your own podcast, whatever it looks like. Maybe you go to some school board meetings. Maybe you run for school board. Who knows? But each of us has a role to play. There is a plan. Mm-hmm. It's God's mm-hmm. plan. We're a part of it. Mm-hmm. We just have to listen and then give our faith some feet and walk it out. That's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. So right now, if you want to get involved at Maricopa County, there's a recall effort going for our county board of supervisors that happen to be Republican in name only. Yeah. Republican, right? Yeah. Who was the chairman who oversaw the last debauched election? So there's a recall effort against him. If you want to get involved, all you have to go to theambermayshow.com, click the contact tab. Let me know you want to contact to get involved, and I will put you in contact with the group of people that are starting the recall efforts against Bill Gates, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. These are regular people doing something to fight back because they were gaslighted, and these people hijacked their right to vote in Maricopa County, and they were supposedly Republicans. So if people think that it's only a one-sided party doing this, no. It's a uniparty system. They're disguised as a two-party system, but it's a one-party system. And so now is your opportunity. If you've been wanting to know what to do, now's your time, because we have a short window to get these recalls. So many hands make the load light. So go to theambermayshow.com, hit the contact button. I'll put you in touch. If you want to make a donation, please do the same. There's a link, and you can donate if you're outside of Maricopa County but still want to put an effort in. There's a way to do that too.
That's great.
I think that's amazing how your group of people ousted the county board of commissioners and just regular people now hold a political office. That's how it was supposed to be all along. Yeah. Regular people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how we got away from this, but through the years, there's been a multi-pronged attack on us, but it's supposed to be, you know, the average person goes to serve for a few years, then goes back into what they were doing. And if each of us was a little more engaged, well, we'd have a completely different outlook on all of this. But somehow we've along with say, that's not for me. I'm not supposed to deal with that. I'm going to outsource that. Somebody else can do it. And it's unfortunately, it's led us to what we see today. And that's the sad part.
A regular person every day can write a bill. You can contact your state legislator like I did, meet with him. You have to do it before session starts, because once session starts, you only have X number of days, at least in the state of Arizona. I don't know if it's the same, but I'm just going to go on and pretend that it is across the nation, because there's a good chance that you only have so many days when session starts to introduce bills. And so you meet with your state legislator. He's going to want to know, or she's going to want to know, is this really a problem? You bring people in that have had this issue, and you bring them to the table with your state legislator. This is how I did it. And then me and him worked on the bill, and we worked on the bill until we got the verbiage right and until we got what we wanted right. You have to go in front of stakeholders, anyone that would be involved or potentially affected directly with this bill, and you meet with them, and then you may or may not tweak the bill, but at least you know what your opposition is going to say. And then you have to get it submitted. And if in Arizona, if the chair of that board decides to hear your bill, then you go before the board or the committee, and you talk about your bill. They give you so many minutes to do so. Then they vote on it. And if it passes, then it can goes to the house part, the floor part. And if that passes, it goes to the Senate. Well, my bill had to go in front of two committees. It passed one and died in the second. I was so upset, and it died by a fellow Republican. I was so sad about that. But it's not the end. We're going to have another session, and we're going to try again. And maybe God did it for such a time as this, because maybe, I don't know what the future holds, but maybe God already knows Katie Hobbs's time in office will be short. I don't know. I don't know. There's still court cases going on. I don't know if there'll be recall efforts that are successful because citizens are upset that she shouldn't be in office. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know. Or maybe she'll get so tired of vetoing every single bill. She's the queen of vetoes right now in Arizona. Queen. Her legacy will be the one who vetoed the most amount of bills. This is going to be her legacy. Maybe she finally gets tired of her legacy of vetoing. Maybe she decides, I'm going to sign all these bills. I don't know. I don't know. But there must be a plan and a purpose why I was supposed to do this bill. It did get killed, which broke my heart because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to put a bill together. But that's something regular people can do. Another thing regular people can do is fund billboards and put content on billboards, whatever they feel very empowered about, whatever message they want to get out. This is something they can do. They can create memes and share it on social media. This is another powerful tool people can do. It's time that we start thinking outside the box. You wrote a book. I mean, that's another powerful tool. People can write books. You are a regular person writing a book, and now you're an author. Author Justin Barclay. Did you ever think that was going to be a part of your repertoire?
No. Well, I wanted to. Years ago, I wanted to, but I never did because I thought, oh, I have to be this thick and you got all, and I just, who would read that and all of that? But I, when God said, hey, you're supposed to write a book, I just did it. And what I did is I literally sat down and just knocked it out. And I knew that I didn't have to be perfect, but let me get this into the hands of people that need it the most. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, that people need this and I'm called to do this. God's going to work something. I don't have to have all the answers. Like you just said, I don't have to have all, I don't know everything, but I just need to play my part. Then I think things, they just, they end up working out. They just do.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a living testimony of that because I was just a girl, a woman sitting in church, listening to my dad's last sermon. And that's when he called me back and I listened to a podcast. I wasn't going to because I was so busy, but listening to one podcast because God introduced me to one person through that podcast just changed my entire world. People I never thought in a million years I'd ever know in my life. People I was following on their shows, you know, people I love their content. I was following on their shows and now I can call friends. Now I can text them. Now I can say, hey, how's it going? Hey, let's do a show together. You know, I never thought I would meet these people. A pastor, Pastor Greg Locke, a guy in 2021, January, was it? No, January 2020. I get so confused. Right when, you know, we were, was that January 6th, right before January 6th? Was that 21 or 2020? 2020, right? 21. Yes, 21. Right? He's in Washington, D.C. And this is when I first see him on my phone. He just pops up on my phone. And I say, I think it's God. I think God put Greg Locke on my phone. I was such in a bad place because I knew President Trump won Arizona. And they took my right to vote away. And what did that mean for the United States? If they can take one vote, one right away, they can take them all. And it can just destroy. I was such in a bad place. It wasn't as much as, oh, my gosh, Donald Trump lost. It was about what did that mean? It meant now my right to vote didn't matter. It meant that they could take something away and destroy what we all grew up hearing in class. As long as you had that constitution, no one can take your rights away. I just remember hearing that growing up in elementary school. As long as that constitution, your rights are secure. And here I see as a grown adult, oh, my rights aren't that secure. They're just going to take it away in front of my very eyes. Oh, people is getting cancel cultured everywhere they turn. Oh, we can't go to church anymore. The freedom of religion is gone. I mean, I was in such a bad place, and then he pops up on my phone, and then here I meet him 2 years later, going to church with him, like meeting him at an event that I spoke at. It was just like, this is incredible. I thought my story was unique to his ministry. It was not. It was not unique to his ministry. But I mean, to me, it was a big deal meeting him, because when you find someone that really impacted you at like your lowest point, meeting them is like everything to you. It means nothing to them or anybody else, but it means everything to you. And he was so kind to me. And it was so fun going to his movie premiere, getting invited to go to church with him and watching him in live when I was watching him on the phone. You know what I mean? It's like, these are the things God did. But if I never had said yes to begin with, I wouldn't know you right now. And I wouldn't have met Pastor Greg Locke and go to church with him. Finding out that people from all over the United States go every single week. There's a couple from Florida. They go every weekend to his church. Another lady from Pennsylvania, every weekend from his church. He has people from all around the United States every week attend his church. It's incredible what God's doing with that man. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
He's on the move. God is on the move right now. And particularly in people who are obedient, that's where you see it. I don't know. Would you follow the Asbury? What happened at Asbury? Asbury University?
Yes. Can you believe that? Just like the movie
Jesus Revolution. Yeah.
Just like that.
I went to Asbury.
I'm hoping that that's what we're going to. You did. What was it like? Tell us about it.
It was incredible. In fact, I talked to Pastor Locke about this a little bit a while back on a show that I did.
You know him too?
I met him a couple of weeks back, actually. First time I met him at Clay Clark's event with Reverse Davos. And
You were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Clay Clark's a good friend of mine. That's so cool.
I went down to check it out. It was a great time. It was another one of those things. When you get a chance to go to events like that, if you can't go, because mm-hmm. you're going to meet so many different people, Amber, like you just said, God's going to put you on a path. That's kind of how I gotta be honest, like lately I've just felt like calls to go and do something or be somewhere or whatever it is. And I'm trying to listen to that and then just go with it. It worked out great with Asbury. I just felt this call. I was watching the videos and seeing the things coming through, and they were worship. So if people don't know, Asbury University, they go, the students there go to a Christian university, and they go to chapel one morning, and like any morning, they're just having their service. And normally it would just wrap up and they'd go to class. Well, this one didn't end. They continued to stay in worship, and they throughout the day, and then it turned into another day and another day. And it went a couple of weeks. So they worshiped. There was testimonies given, scripture reading. There was people coming, getting up to the stage and sharing the gospel and preaching, things like that. It was amazing to watch it all. And I see some of the major testimonies that were coming out. I'm like, man, I feel like I got to go to that. So Valentine's week, I guess on Valentine's Day, actually, I sent a message to my pastor and said, we'd been talking about it. I said, man, I feel like I want to go to this. It's only 6.5 hours. Did you want to go? Cause I'm thinking we'd just go down there and come back, you know? And, he talked to me, he said, well, my father-in-law, who's, this guy is an evangelist and, a missionary. They both just got back from Pakistan. But he said, yeah, he's thinking about going too. And he's going to go Thursday. Cause Thursday I could do probably today's Valentine's Day. Tomorrow's my wife's birthday. I'm like, Maybe I should wait till Thursday. Thursday comes and goes, and we don't go. But Saturday rolls around, and I get out of bed, and I'm just like, I think I'm supposed to be there. So I said to my wife, I gotta go. And I think she thinks I'm kind of just a little bit crazy anyway. But I said, you're going to think this is nuts, but I think I'm supposed to go. And she said, okay. So I go that weekend, and it was Saturday. I drive 6.5 hours. This is God. I pull into a gas station after I get through past like Cincinnati area and Kentucky there. I pull into a gas station. I'm pumping gas and I look up across the street, and there, Amber, is the Ark Encounter. Have you ever seen what the Ark Encounter?
Yeah, I've been there.
So I've been never been
in Kentucky, right?
That's the gas station. I'm pumping gas right across the street from it. And I look up and I go, that looks amazing.
It is
I go,
so cool. Oh, that's the Ark.
Wow. Okay, God. Guess I'm on the mission for a reason here. So I get back in the car, head down.
Don't you feel like a little shrimp next to that arc? Like you feel like a little tiny shrimp next to
it. I mean, I was way far back from it, but you could just see the massive scope, how huge that thing is. And I've never been inside, I've never been to it, but when the kids get bigger, I want to take them. It looks amazing.
It is amazing inside. Yeah. It really puts the Bible in real life because they did it to the specifications of Noah's Ark. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, right. You got it. Everyone needs to go. Yeah.
So I got to tell you, I get in the car, I head on down and I get to where I'm going. You get into town. It's a small, it's a one, like two lane road to get into town, but their car is backed up. And it's like there's a big event or it's a big football night there in the small town of Wilmore, Kentucky. And I see a line of people that stretches through the entire town. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. I don't know where I'm going to park. Oh, of course, God, of course, I had to come on Saturday. This is like when, you know, everybody's coming and I've, oh, man, and I don't like lines and I don't like, you know, all this, but okay, let me go. So I said, guy, you got to find me a parking spot. Sure enough, I just turned and turned and turned, and there were a couple right where I parked. It was perfect. I was actually ended up right behind the auditorium. When I got out of the car, I could hear the worship. I could hear it coming from, you know, hundreds of feet away. And it was really something. Even now thinking about it, I really wish like I could go back to, there was something about that moment. Mm-hmm. I just wish I could go back there. So I make it up there. There's a huge line throughout the town. And I find a place where I thought, oh, did I find a shorter line? How did this happen? I walked along the inside the lawn to see some things. And I'm standing in line for a few minutes. And somebody says, just to let you know, this is the Gen Z line. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pass for that. I might as well go ahead and get out of this line. The guy says, you can go across the street and see in the champ. So I did. I went across. I sat down for a couple of hours. And it was like nothing else I've ever seen before. And I wasn't going because I needed something. A lot of people came from all over the world. In fact, some were looking for healing in their kids. And it was some of the stuff was really heartbreaking, but to hear and see the stories in line, people were praying for each other in the line. They had people that brought all kinds of things. Somebody decided they wanted to set up a coffee stand, hand out free coffee. There was a food truck that set up. It said free food. And they were giving away blankets and they had heaters set up all throughout the lawn, and like the propane heaters that are outside. They had these big Jumbotron screens, the LED Jumbotron screens that people could watch the services outside. They were praying, worshiping, and just enjoy the service on the outside. It had overflown that building. It couldn't hold it. It overflowed. The entire thing has come outside. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like chaos, but order. And it was like the body of Christ had moved. Like each person was doing exactly what they were supposed to do. And it's interesting to note that this all started with the obedience. It all started with the obedience. These kids, and the youth repented. They came to the altar. You know, all of these things, I've found encouragement. I think that's why I was supposed to go, so mm-hmm. I could come back and tell people about it. And also to be encouraged, because we're often thinking about, you know, with my girls, my daughters, young girls, thinking about, you know, what's the world going to look like when they get old? What is that going to be like? And so I thought this is something, but there were young people that started this, that were leading the worship, that were in this, and this was very focused around the youth. So I thought, you know, I think we're going to be okay. The God is moving right now, particularly in these young people. So it was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. But to your point, it started with this obedience of hearing that nudge, whatever that, you know, that voice or whatever it is that you have a thought or you think that's the Holy Spirit. Listen to that and then be obedient. And I'm trying to mm-hmm. to be a little bit better than myself now. When I came back from that, having the urge to pray for someone and say, hey, I'll pray for you. I pray right then and there. And mm-hmm. little things like that have just kind of shifted my focus and my perspective. God is moving there, and now it's spread out to all these other churches and all these other towns and all throughout. And I have no doubt that he's going to do something even bigger. I don't know what it is yet, but I know we're going to be blown away when we see it.
Oh, I know. I think so too. I think he's setting it up for this big, huge thing. And we're going to be like, wow, this is incredible. Because I got hope after, you know, I started listening, 6 months and our nation's over. But then I started getting hope because of, I saw people starting to move. You know, I think General Flynn and Clay Clark, they did this. They're still doing it. I hope you'll go to the one in Las Vegas, because that's the one I'm going to be at, the Reawaken Tour. And you could set up a media booth and we could be right next to each other. I hope you'll come to that, because I was fortunate to be a speaker in November at the Reawaken Tour. And I went to the baptisms and I saw God's hand move. I mean, I just felt the Holy Spirit move in there, and there was spiritual attacks. I was one of them. A vision came true for me. For the very first time, I got a vision when I worked at the radio station that I was going to speak in front of a large amount of people. I saw myself at the microphone, and then I'm standing behind myself and I'm watching myself speak in front of a whole bunch of people. And that was like 11 years ago, I saw that. And God also said to me when I was reading Daniel chapter 10, the prince of Persia is over your country, over your nation, meaning like this really powerful satanic being is controlling your country. So when he told me that, I knew that means there's going to be an end to it. Why would he tell me that if there was going to be no end to the reign? There had to be an end to reign. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't follow God's character that evil, like Sodom and Gomorrah, it lasted for a while and then God took care of it, right? The flood of Noah, you know, evil perpetuated for a while and then God took care of it. So I'm thinking that means there's going to be an end to it. And then here I am going to the Reawaken Tour, and you got to be careful who you allow to pray over you. And I don't know if it was this lady that prayed over me or what, but I did get a prayer over the night before I was supposed to speak, because I felt completely fine. Completely fine. And I've heard this from a couple other people, friends of mine who are believers, and then gets called to do this big speech. My sister's one of them. She is an ultrasound tech, and every time she's going to go speak at a school, she gets right sick, because it's a pro-life Christian organization, and she's like teaching people, the young kids, about the baby in the womb, and she gets to show them with her ultrasound stuff, right? And so every time she's going to speak, she ends up getting sick. I was perfectly fine. It's 2:00 in the morning. I wake up. I'm supposed to speak that day, and I don't have a voice. And I started feeling really ill. And I knew I was under a spiritual attack, because I knew the vision that God gave me was going to happen. And he was going to do everything he could to stop my... And it's not like I felt like I had the most powerful words there, because I don't feel like that. But God was still going to use me some way, somehow. And the vision God gave me was finally coming true. And he wasn't going to let that happen. And so I was just praying over my body in Jesus' name. I mean, I still didn't feel good, but I went up there and I killed it as best as I could. You know, with the voice that I had, I said, God, in my weakness, you are strong. I need you, because I am super weak. And I just kept praying that. I said, God, I am so weak and I need you. I need your healing. I need your power. I need you go speak with me, because I was so sick. And then the next day I'm fine. Okay. So it was definitely a spiritual attack, because the next day I was fine. The day before I was fine. In that moment, I was not fine. And it just be careful who, and Pastor Greg Locke preached on this too. When I went because he was saying he let someone pray over him. And then when he was supposed to do something real big, he got really sick. And so when he said it, it brought that remembrance to me. Like, you just got to be careful who you let pray, especially when you're going to do something that God is calling you to do. If you have a big event that you're going to be speaking at where you have a big audience and you know, God's using you in that moment to speak to the masses. Like he said, I was like, yep, that happened to me too, Pastor. Happened to me too. And so he got better too, right? Like after the thing, right? He got better. And I was just like, spiritual attack. You got to be careful, because he's trying to take us down, because I don't know. I feel like he, in the spiritual realm, the enemies know who's been called to do certain things, and they will do whatever they can to stop you, me, or whoever to get the message out. But at the Reawaken Tour, I mean, God's hand was moving. Some of the speakers that are, what they said still resonate with me. Still, I mean, when I watch, if I ever go back and rewatch it, I get teary eyed because God's message was so powerful to me. And if it was powerful to me, it was powerful to others. And I saw baptisms. And so, yes, the Reawaken Tour is about telling people what's going on in the real world, and you got to be careful, but it's more than that. And he'll even tell you, Clay will even say, it's about bringing people back to God. And that's the main point of the Reawaken Tour. And that's what's really cool. So there's something happening, and sometimes it's not always easy to see it in our natural eyes. And so what you do for people is so great that you keep reminding them of the good that you see in the world and the things that are happening that are good, because sometimes all the bad, and sometimes it feels hopeless, you forget, like, there is a God on the throne. So Justin, what you do is so important to people.
Oh, thank you for that encouragement. And Amber, I say the same thing about you. We're all in this together. We're in this fight. God has a plan. We've got to walk out whatever his call is for us. And if we do that, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. It will be. How do people find your book or find your show and find you? How do people do that?
Well, my show is on weekdays from 9 to 11. I stream and, of course, podcast, but you can get everything at justinbarclay.com. You can connect with me on all the different social media platforms at Mr. Justin Barclay is the way to do that. B-A-R-C-L-A-Y, justinbarclay.com. And you can get my book there right now. Grab it, get 10% off for the big guy. It's like Joe Biden.
That's promo code, the big guy.
That's it. So use promo code big guy. And that's everything in the store. The book, t-shirts. I got a tinfoil hat in there. I'll send you one. I think you'll enjoy that.
Even I would love that. I would rock that, dude. Yeah. I'll rock that tinfoil hat. You know, speaking of the big guy, it reminds me of Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump's speeches because it's always like the worst, like, this was the worst that's ever happened in the history. And or he'll say, and you know who does a great impression of him is Louder with Crowder, Stephen Crowder. You know, he does this great impression of all of Donald Trump's speeches. I mean, he's right about it, but it's funny, though, because it's always like the worst. Or people told me, people say he's the worst. I didn't say that. People say it, but he is the worst. Like, you know how his speeches are. I love listening to Donald Trump speeches because they're just fantastic. They're just fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, wow. I would just totally rock that tinfoil hat. So justinbarclay.com, and we can.
That's it.
Do you have your streaming there on the website as well?
But I'm everywhere. I mean, everywhere you think it could be, except for YouTube. I got kicked off of YouTube too. Facebook, yeah. Twitter,
high five Twitch, to Rumble, you. Twitter.
Yeah, they don't like the truth. YouTube, not big fans of the truth. I kind of wear that with a badge of honor. So.
So do I. I got kicked off early on in my show. Like, yeah. They started seeing my numbers get crazy, right? And then they shadow banned me. And then they started striking me. And then I wasn't even on very long. And then they're like, you're done. I'm like, okay.
Isn't that something?
Cry me a river.
But God's making a way, you know? I mean, look at all these.
Look at Rumble. It's growing like crazy.
Yeah. Rumble. Rumble is really taking off. Yeah. God's moving. I really feel it. I can see it happening. I am really encouraged. I don't know what's going to happen, but man, I cannot wait to see what he's working. And hey, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, Amber. I can't wait. Maybe I will get to Vegas. I'm looking at that one. I know there's one in Miami at Doral. There's one in Vegas.
Yep, there's one in Miami. And
Clay's events are great. I encourage people, you get a chance to go see one. Yes. Gotta go. So many great people that show up at these events. You're going to make friends probably for a lifetime. I guarantee you will, you will love it. You will feel the impact. It is certainly worth it. And he's got to talk about somebody doing it for all the right reasons. Yeah. Great guy. And it's like a family. So I think, it'll be a good time. I think it'll be a fun time and we'll see. Maybe I can get there. I'd love to make that happen. I think that one's coming up in August, right?
Yes, the Las Vegas one is in August. I'll be at that one. I can't make it to the Florida one, but I will be at the Las Vegas one.
Very cool.
So well,
I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I could get time to make that work too.
It'll be fun. It'll be really fun to meet in person. Well, let's collaborate. Let's keep this. I'd love to have you back on my show. Maybe we could continue doing this where, you know, we could, you know, be on each other's programs. And I'm just encouraged. This is another God connection just because I was obedient. I think what you're doing is fantastic. It's needed in the most important way because we do need those encouragements. And so what you do and what you bring to the table is amazing. So please check them out. JustinBarclay.com. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today.
Appreciate it. Thank you. God bless.